God's people, let's turn now in the scriptures to Nehemiah and chapter 13. In Nehemiah chapter 13, we'll be reading verses 15 through 22. And then right after we read this passage, we're going to go to Isaiah 58. So you might try to find that as well and put your finger there so we can flip there. And in Isaiah 58, we'll read verses 13 and 14. So Nehemiah, we'll begin in Nehemiah 13, reading verses 15 through 22. Before we read God's Word, before we hear the Word preached, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask for His blessing upon us, His people. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come in the name of Christ, by the strength of the Holy Spirit, before your throne, we're thankful that you speak to us now through your word. We're thankful that it is clear. We're thankful that you have brought us thus far. And we ask for your continued growth, that you would build us up in faith, encourage us in Christ, and give us the joy in the Holy Spirit. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Nehemiah chapter 13, and starting in verse 15, we'll read through verse 22. These are God's words. In those days I saw in Judah some who were treading wine presses on the Sabbath, and bringing in sacks of grain and loading them on donkeys, as well as wine, grapes, figs, and all kinds of loads. And they brought them into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, and so I admonished them on the day they sold food. Also, men of Tyre were living there who imported fish and all kinds of merchandise and sold them to the sons of Judah on the Sabbath, even in Jerusalem. Then I reprimanded the nobles of Judah and said to them, "What is this evil thing you are doing by profaning the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers do the same, so that our God brought on us and on this city all this trouble? Yet you are adding to the wrath on Israel by profaning the Sabbath." It came about that just as it grew dark at the gates of Jerusalem before the Sabbath, I commanded that the doors should be shut and that they should not open them until after the Sabbath. Then I stationed some of my servants at the gate so that no load or burden would enter on the Sabbath day. Once or twice, the traders and merchants of every kind of merchandise spent the night outside Jerusalem. Then I warned them and said to them, "Why do you spend the night in front of the wall? If you do so again, I will use force against you." From that time on, they did not come on the Sabbath. And I commanded the Levites that they should purify themselves and come as gatekeepers to sanctify the Sabbath day. For this also, remember me, O my God, and have compassion on me according to the greatness of your loving kindness. Those are God's words. Turn over to Isaiah 58. In Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14, these also are God's authoritative words. "If because of the Sabbath you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and honor it, desisting from your own ways, from seeking your own pleasure, and speaking your own word, then you will take delight in the Lord. And I will make you ride on the heights of the earth, and I'll feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Those are God's words. And I bring you greetings from my congregation, Christ Presbyterian Church. My congregation has just started a topical series in the evenings on how to encourage or grow in our communion with Jesus Christ. How do we grow in fellowship with Jesus Christ? And we've covered that we must come to Christ. We must think upon His excellencies, all the things that He's excellent in, which is a lot of things, more than we could ever recount ourselves in this life. We're now thinking of some more practical and specific steps we can take in growing or encouraging our communion with Christ. We're looking this evening at maybe we could call it step one. One of the most important things you can do in this life as a Christian. It's the most important thing. It is the Sabbath. It is what God gives us in the Sabbath. Not merely remembering the Sabbath, Exodus 20, not just keeping the Sabbath, Deuteronomy 5, but in which there remains then also a Sabbath keeping for the people of God, Hebrews 4, verse 9. But you must delight, as Isaiah 58 we just read, delight in the Sabbath. Delight in the Lord's day. And the first point we'll be thinking through is the negative. Destroying your communion with Christ. Destroying your communion with Christ or causing great destruction to it. Throughout the Scriptures, our Lord teaches us how to delight in Christ, how to grow in communion with Christ by delighting in His day. One of those things that Elia told me that this morning you heard here in Shawnee about coming and worshiping, I think it is, with together with God's people. And that is one of those things that we do in growing in communion with Christ. Lord's Day is that day when our souls are nourished by the pure milk of the Word of God. As we gather together in public worship, Jesus speaks directly to us here in the reading and preaching of His Word. Even when we're singing the Psalms, even when we're in the partaking of the sacraments, He's showing forth the truth of the Word of God. And when we're praying the Word, of course. And however, there seems to be, as we think about it in our day, and maybe in our churches, there seems to be a widespread thought that the command to keep the Lord's Day holy is a heavy burden. It's something that weighs heavy upon us. To others, as it has become the forgotten commandment, as you look at the church throughout America, and is perceived as simply just another legalistic regulation. But thankfully, the Lord has created the Lord's Day to bless man, not to oppress him. Mark 2, verse 27. The day is a blessed day. It's a happy day. It's a joyful day. It is a glad day. It is not one of oppression. It is not one meant to burden you or put a heavy load upon you. It is one that brings great freedom to your life. Freedom in the Lord. For He has said, therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. He made it holy. If the church and our own souls are to flourish unto holiness and commune with Christ or fellowship with Christ more and more, then we must actively learn to delight in His day. We must answer the question, is the Sabbath, the Lord's day, a burden or a delight? Is it a burden or is it a delight? How did God design it to be? In our culture, again, in the church, the assumption is that the Lord's Day is a burden. It's something that is to weigh heavy upon you. There are all these regulations. There's these list of do's and list of don'ts. But what is a burden, really? It's a heavy load. It's something that encumbers you, it hampers you, it brings you down. The Lord says in Nehemiah 13:15, speaking about people working on the Sabbath, in those days I saw people in Judah treading wine presses on the Sabbath, bringing in the sheaves, loading donkeys with wine, grapes, figs, and all kinds of loads or burdens, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I warned them about the day on which they were selling provisions. Verse 19, so it was at the gates of Jerusalem, as it began to be dark before the Sabbath, that I commanded the gates to be shut and charged that they must not be opened till after the Sabbath. Then I posted some of my servants at the gates so that no burdens would be brought in on the Sabbath day. I don't know if you're reading that, that you know that burdens, there are loads. It's speaking of the goods they brought in, mostly upon the donkeys and things like that. They brought things into the city to be sold. But you should also see the spirit. What spiritually is happening there, is spiritually being addressed there, is a heavy burden to oneself. When they were doing that, when they were bringing that work in, they were selling and doing all those things, they were bringing burden upon themselves because they were not focusing on Yahweh, not on the Lord. And they were also bringing burdens on the people in Jerusalem who were buying what was being sold. So there's a burden in which is used to destroy communion with Christ. It discourages communion with Christ. The burden upon the people was their working on the Sabbath. And specifically, treading wine presses, it says, bringing in goods and loading donkeys. Another way to look at it is that the burden is not following the Lord's command. In it thou shalt not do any work. That's what God has given to you as a blessing. And yet it's oftentimes that we are ignoring Him and bringing on ourselves burdens. The beloved, this is not merely about not working on the Lord's Day or the Sabbath, as we often think. It's also about not buying on the Lord's Day, not purchasing, not making use of those who are working sinfully. Verse 16. Men of Tyre dwelt there also, who brought in fish and all kinds of goods and sold them on the Sabbath to the children of Judah, God's people, and in Jerusalem. Then I contended with the nobles and said to them, what evil thing is this that you do by which you profane the Sabbath day? The evil thing that has happened in Jerusalem, not only were people selling things, working and selling, but the children of Judah, that is the children of God, were buying these things. They were taking part in these burdens on the Sabbath day. And that, it says to God, is evil. Wicked. We don't need to spend a long time on the negative, beloved. I'm sure when people cover the Sabbath or the commandment of the Sabbath, they focus a lot on the negative, what you are not to do. That's very generally what God gives us not to do. Because the Lord has created the Lord's Day to be a day of delight, a day of gladness, rejoicing, and not a day in which you are to burden yourselves. He blessed the day. He tells us to rejoice in it. To ignore the command of the Lord is to curse yourself, to curse the day, to burden man and self. When we remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, the Lord promises that we will be blessed. We will be happy. That's His promise. We will be blessed with greater fellowship. We'll be blessed with greater communion with Jesus Christ. But if this day is not kept, if we do not remember and rest in Christ alone, then surely we will receive discipline from the Lord. We are burdening ourselves and destroying or discouraging our communion with Christ. The heavy burden is always following man's way, our way, instead of God's way. Man's way is always bent towards sin and self-pleasure. If you're saying to yourself, what can I do today to give myself pleasure, to get something done, you're starting in the wrong place. We approach the Lord's Day wrongly. We ask the wrong questions. Is it okay for me to do this? Is it okay for me to do that? Is it okay for me to eat at a restaurant? Can I watch a football game this afternoon or this evening after we get home from worship tonight? You're asking the wrong questions. We're starting in the wrong place. We assume that the Lord's Day is a day that restricts us and burdens us, and therefore we're trying to figure out what can we do to get out of this closed box that God has us in, this burden. Before we really even understand what the Lord's Day is, we're trying to apply it to ourselves. We're basing, therefore, our practice on what? We're starting with our practice, or we're basing our practice on our experience. We're basing our practice on what we want ourselves instead of upon God's Word. Our practice must first come from or be determined by our theology, our doctrine, what the Lord commands and what He shows us is good. We often make the Lord's Day, the foundation of the Lord's Day, ourselves. But the question that is before you now is this man's day or is it the Lord's day? Is it man's day or the Lord's day? If it's man's, then man can decide what we can do on the Lord's day. But it's not obviously the man's day, it's the Lord's day. And so we ought to let Him show us what His day is all about. So the second point this evening, encouraging your communion with Christ. Encouraging your communion with Christ. How? How are we going to encourage our communion with Christ and what it has to do with the Sabbath day? By delighting in the Lord's day. The Lord's day was not designed to be a burden to you. It never was, and yet we've often made it that. It is designed to be a delight. Something that is to bring blessing and gladness. And therefore, to see how this day is a delight and how it can be a delight for us, let's try to understand the meaning of the day. Why did God create the Sabbath day? The rest for man. First, He did so to give us rest from our work. We've covered that a little bit in the fourth commandment. Rest from our work. The Lord designed us to work. It's a good thing to do work because when God created man, He gave him work to do even before the fall. To dress the garden, to keep it. Work is good. Just as God created for 6 days, so too He rested on the seventh day. He blessed the day, He sanctified it, and He sanctified it because He rested from all His work of creation on that day. Man, therefore, through the Lord's example, is to follow Him in the keeping of the fourth commandment and the rest from His work for blessing. For communion. You take a step away from your work so you can be blessed and commune even in a greater way than on the other 6 days. This day, the Lord's Day, is a special day. It's special, more special than every other day that we have. And you think of the context in which the fourth commandment was given in writing, that it's at Mount Sinai, Exodus 20. The Israelites were just delivered. They were just redeemed from slavery in Egypt when they worked 7 days a week, every day of the year. Think of that, working every day. From when you wake up to when you go to bed, you're working. Think of that slavery. And try to grasp how sweet it would be for Israel to hear that they would get a day of rest again. And they had never had received rest for 400 years. They would still work, but only 6 days. The seventh would be the day of rest. What a blessing that is. A.W. Pink says of working and resting, he says, "He who never works is unfitted for worship. Work is to pave the way for worship, as worship is to fit us for work. The more diligent and faithful we are in performing the duties of the 6 days, the more shall we value the rest of the seventh." And yet for many Christians, this blessing is missed. One of the first temptations we have coming home from worship today, on this day, is to work, to do something of our own pleasure, to clean up, work around the house. We fill the remainder of the Lord's day with thoughts of our work that's going to happen in the next 6 days. We think of what has happened. Maybe you had a hard week. You're thinking about what's happened in the past 6 days. The Lord calls us to work, but He also graciously gives us rest from it. Rest from not only doing it, rest from thinking about it. Rest from everything to do with your work. Don't put yourself into slavery again. Don't make yourself slaves to your work. Don't make yourself slaves to your pleasures. Praise the Lord. We don't have to be slaves. He's given us freedom in Christ. Further, the Lord's Day is designed to give rest to your souls. Not only rest from work, but rest to your souls. This day is especially holy. Consequently, we gather together in public worship. As we worship, we are given the great opportunity of having our minds, our souls filled by God with His Word and with His special presence. When we worship, we pray the Word, we sing the Word, we hear the Word read and preached, we see the Word, we even feel the Word in the sacraments. And that as Christ ministers and communes with us. Christ especially communes with you on the Lord's Day. That's the design that He has given. The Word, therefore, filling our minds, as it does fill our mind, which ultimately, if received by faith, fills our hearts. It works in our souls. As the Word fills us, we see the love of God in Christ Jesus, who saved us from all of our sin and all of our guilt. We become more aware of our sins from the past week, and we understand they are forgiven in Jesus Christ. The sins that we will commit in the week ahead are all covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, and we acknowledge that, and we trust that, and our souls find rest before the mercy seat. There is a blessed rest for our souls on the Lord's Day. Finally, the Lord's Day is intended to give you rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Our chief end is to enjoy Him forever. And yet most of our lives are focused on our work, our school, our home, our time, our plans, our pleasures. And we're certainly able to glorify God in our work, in our school, in our home, in our time, in our plans, in our pleasures. But the point of this is that the 6 days of the week are focused on you. 6 days of the week are focused on you, on your survival, and what you do, and what you like to do. God gives you that, and that's a good thing. And from those 6 days, you find your need, and you see your need for the Lord. You see your need for rest. You see your need to repent of your sins and be blessed eternally. The Lord gave us, therefore, the Lord's Day. To bless His people. A day not focused on you, but on Him. A day where you work for yourself to receive physical benefits now. Not a day that you do that. But where you submit yourself to your Savior and Lord and receive benefits from Him that will last for eternity. The other 6 days you're working to do what? Enjoy benefits in this life that will end. And some hopefully die, as some of those are sin. But He's given you one day to focus on being blessed and filled with those things that last for eternity. So how can resting in the Lord be a burden? Just try to grasp the love of God through His giving us this day. It pleases Him to give you one day out of seven for the very purpose of blessing you. In a special way, God gives us 52 holy days a year, one each week to celebrate Him, to rest in Him, to be blessed by Him. He gives you the day, each week, a day of sweet delight, which our King has made for you. This day was made for us. And so we ought to come and let us... We ought to live as if the Lord's Day is the Lord's and not ours. We ought not to dictate what we do. We don't start asking the questions, may I eat at a restaurant or can I go watch the football game? If we want to rest in the Lord, we go to the Lord. And we rest in Him. And we ought to live as if this day is the most important day of the week. Most important day. It is called the market day of the soul. That your soul would be fed in delight and commune with Christ. It's the day that we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, where He secured our justification. He won the victory and secured that victory over death and gain for us eternal rest. Each week as it comes, let us remember that it is the day that the Lord has made. We ought to rejoice and be glad in it, not be burdened by it. It is the Lord's day of delight. Is it a delight for you? Isaiah 58 is our other passage. It answers this question. It says in verse 13, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor Him, not doing your own ways, not finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, the mouth of the Lord. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. The Lord's day is not about, it says, not about our own pleasure. It's not about doing the things that we want to do on that day. It's not even about speaking the words that we want to speak. It's about something wholly different than the rest of the week. It's about resting in the Lord. It's about a day to delight in the Lord. And so we're speaking the words about the Lord and even to one another. But notice the language of verse 14. If you call the Sabbath a delight and you don't go after your own pleasure and your work and all that, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. You will commune with Jesus Christ. You will have greater fellowship with Him. Christ, our husband, wants you, the church, the bride, to come and meditate upon Him and commune with Him on this day. So how do we delight in the Lord's day? The first step is to see the Lord's day as Scripture shows us and call it a delight. If in our hearts we do not cling to the Lord's day as the chief of days and His day, then we will never truly delight in it. We'll never truly have gladness or be blessed on this day. And never truly delight and commune with Jesus Christ. Secondly, and practically, we must prepare physically beforehand. If the most important day of the week is the Lord's Day, then treat it so and prepare for it accordingly. Think of how you prepare for a vacation for a trip that you're going on. You take a great amount of time preparing for it. Packing everything up, getting everything ready. You ought to do so physically and spiritually for the Lord's Day, the Sabbath day. And if you're preparing for the Lord's Day, it will produce a body and a soul that is ready to leave off all the thoughts and cares of the world and focus and rest in the Lord and delight in Him. If we clutter up the day, and by not preparing, we clutter up the day with other things, it will be like the person who's working constantly while they're on vacation. And so not a vacation at all. Here it would be no rest at all. That is going to hurt your communion with Christ. When the day comes, we are to spend a day in the public acts of worship, as I think you heard this morning. Our sessions have called both of our congregations for morning and evening worship. And what a blessing that is, that many other churches do not have. You've taken vows before the Lord, not only to keep the Lord's Day, but to respect the authority of the church, in which in both our congregations, the elders, for your good and for your communion with Jesus Christ, have given you the opportunity of blessing by having two worship services, in which in two worship services you are able to commune with Christ all the more. And what a great thing it would be if you were pleading with your session to have three worship services or more. That we would be able to commune even more with the Lord on this His day. And in our congregation, in Christ Presbyterian Church, when talking about the not forsaking of the assembling together of ourselves, Hebrews 10, we hear an encouragement to assemble and to put ourselves in the way of blessing. Put yourself in the place where you will be blessed. And here in the Lord's Day corporate worship, that is where especially the Lord loves above all other forms of worship, like family worship or private worship, your private devotions. More than that, it's in the corporate public worship of God, Psalm 87, that He loves to bless His people and commune with them. Now, I would love to go on and on and how to delight in the Lord's Day. I don't have time because I only get to preach here once this time. And how to encourage communion with Christ on the Lord's Day. But we need to address those who have questions or disagree. And so Isaiah 58, let us turn from trampling upon, turning your foot from His day. And how, it says, not doing your own ways, not finding your own pleasure, not speaking your own words. And yet, it's often the case in all of our homes that we are doing just what is warned against here. Often when people talk about the Sabbath and think about it in terms of it being a burden, a list of don'ts, they give up on the day, and so then they hate the day, and there's no joy in the day, there's no delight in the day. But for a moment, if we merely thought of what we get to do, the privileges we get to do on the Lord's Day, and the blessings we'll receive from it, our attitudes, I believe, would change completely about this day. That we have not only corporate worship, which we've often already talked about morning and evening, we would have, if we were have delight in the Lord's Day, think about these things. I'll just highlight them and you can read them later. But in Isaiah 58 verse 6, we didn't read this, but Isaiah 58 verse 6 shows that the Lord's Day is a day for evangelism. The Lord's Day is a day for evangelism. And verse 7 says the Sabbath is a day for physical mercy to others. Spiritual mercy, verse 6. Physical mercy, verse 7. Verse 8, as a result, then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily. And your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call and the Lord will answer. You shall cry and He will say, "Here I am." Communing with you. Communion with Christ. Beloved, on the Lord's Day, you have the privilege of worshiping Him, communing with Christ, especially twice on this day. And then in the rest of the time that you have on this day, think of it, all the time that you have from when you wake up to when you go to bed, you have the time where you can spend in spiritual mercy, showing spiritual mercy to other people of the world, evangelizing. And physical mercy, showing, helping people who may be in need. As well as then spending time in private worship, family worship, and fellowship, of course, with believers. And all of those things are encouragements. And encourage something that encourages our communion with Christ. And so I ask you, what time then do you have left over to do all those other things? You don't have time left over. If you do and take part in the privileges and the blessings the Lord gives to you on this day, you don't have time. You have only time to truly delight in Christ. And that's why He's given you the Lord's Day or the Sabbath day, to rest in Him. And so you ought to come now. You ought to resolve to rest in the Lord on this day in His way. And He promises to you, you will be blessed. You will be blessed with communion with Jesus Christ in His presence before His throne, before the city of the living God and heavenly Jerusalem, before the innumerable company of angels, the general assembly, and the first children of the firstborn. It is in this way God has given us to grow in our communion with Christ. This is step one. And the remembering, keeping, and delighting in the Lord's Day. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we are thankful that You have blessed Your people. That even today, in the many congregations where this day is not upheld and delighted in, and where they're unable or unwilling to see the blessing of the day, You have upheld us thus far. And Father, we pray, we know we're not perfect. We know that we sin on this day. We know that we have thoughts and cares of the world. But Father, we ask that You would grow us more and more and delighting in this day that you have given us to bless us, that we would truly rejoice in it. And even tomorrow morning when we wake up, we will be looking forward, we pray, for the Lord's day to come, when we will get to gather with your saints, with the church, when we get to gather before your throne and commune with you in a special way, and then also in the fellowship of believers and showing mercy to others in the many other ways that we find in Scripture. Father, we ask that you would help us and empower, strengthen us for this great task, which is a privilege and a blessing. And make us to delight in your day. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.